The Bloomington City Council is giving grocery chain Kroger another year to complete infrastructure improvements in the Bloomington site where it had previously planned to build a $25.4 million store. And it's also signed off on a new commission to help the city make technology decisions. Here in studio to talk about those decisions and more is Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner. Mayor Renner, thanks for your time today on Sound Ideas.
Thanks again, Charlie. It's great to be here.
The mayors of Bloomington and Normal join us most Tuesdays after their regular council meetings. Alderman last night approved creation of a new technology commission, which will advise city staff on everything from automation to energy efficiency and even public Wi-Fi. What did you think of this idea?
I think this is long overdue. I think Alderman Matthew deserves a great deal of credit for this. This is something that we've, amongst many of the council members, talked about for a long time, and some of the staff. There seemed to be some resistance in some quarters, but I'm very happy that we're moving ahead with this. And in fact, I had discussions this morning about some possible appointees to that committee so that we can really begin to get the ball rolling.
So how will the seven members of the Technology Commission be chosen and appointed?
Pretty much in the way that I choose other commission members, except obviously this one you'd have to have a specific background, I would assume, you know, to be on this. So I would take recommendations. Sometimes people may just out of the blue apply. Sometimes I would make some phone calls to encourage people to apply. I'm sure Alderman Matthew has some people he'd like to have. Other members of the council may submit names, and then I'll take a look at them and vet them and try to come up with a list of seven. So, and then they would be, usually they're straddled, that is, so an entire commission doesn't come up at once. So we might have four up in 1 year and three up in another year.
So what kinds of areas do you hope they cover? What waterfront do you want them to? Is it going to be an IT network person, a Wi-Fi person, a marriage of the Internet of Things and administrative operations kind of person? What are you?
Maybe I need to have you come and consult me, because I think those are some very, very good ideas right there. Well, clearly we want the areas that you have mentioned. You know, a broad, you know, spectrum of areas dealing with IT. And so this isn't just, you know, I think this morning with a couple conversations I've had, people are misunderstanding. This isn't just, we're looking to develop a couple new apps for service delivery. I mean, that might come out of this, but that's not really, we're thinking about this in I think a broader comprehensive approach. So yes, the seven people would need to have seven different types of background. And then that doesn't necessarily mean that we might not have two or three that have some of the same expertise. It just means the broader scope of responsibilities are what we need to keep in sight.
What do you hope they tackle first?
Wow, everything. we've got lots of areas that we need to improve. We need to improve our IT, which is something that a lot of members of our council have talked about, and many members of the public for a long term. I would say, my guess is, in fact, I'd love to attend the first meeting or two just to see what the members of the commission begin to talk about. I don't know that there's a single thing that I can really point to, though, Charlie.
The city has a lot of commissions: historic preservation, beautification, transportation, public safety, and community relations, just to name a few. As you add new ones like technology, will any others be going away? Does the city still need them all?
Well, that's actually a very good question. We were always talking about those. At this point, there are nearly 300 people who serve on boards and commissions. And because of our rule that we've established that says you cannot serve on more than one commission at a time, that we established about 5 years ago, then that plus term limits does mean that there's going to be a fair amount of turnover. I think it also means that the people who serve on the boards and commissions, there's no question, are much more representative of the community today. Now, the question about specific boards and commissions, one that we will very likely, and I support getting, in a sense, getting rid of, is the Police and Fire Commission. And many of the people who have served on the Police and Fire Commission have said, you know, it's almost like training wheels on a tricycle. We don't really have an effective role. It was really the police officers and others, or the police administration, excuse me, as well as the human resources who wind up making the decisions and offers, and they're in the room and they feel as if their role is not a substantial one. So if that's the case, there's difficulty in getting people to serve because they feel like they really don't have substantial responsibilities, then why have the commission?
Any other similar watering trough beautification or cleanliness commissions?
No, we don't have cleanliness, but beautification would be the closest thing. No, we've got lots of different boards and commissions. I think at this point, we did consolidate quite a few of the building boards. Also, a few months after I came in as mayor, in addition to putting in term limits and many other changes. That doesn't mean that we're not open to more changes as we move forward.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Mayor Renner, lawmakers in Springfield are now debating whether to raise the minimum wage in Illinois to $15 an hour by 2025. Already, it's gone through the Senate, up next in the House. It's at a key committee this week in the House. The governor wants it to happen. What would this mean to the city of Bloomington from an operations standpoint?
I think comparatively little, partly because if it's phased in over 6 years, most of the people that work for the city who are permanent employees, the overwhelming majority, are earning roughly close to $15 an hour even now. Not all. There are some that are seasonal, and I don't mean just lifeguards, you know, your proverbial 18 to 20-year-olds who are working as lifeguards, but even people who are supporting their families. Not too many years ago, when I spoke to several people, there were a couple of gentlemen who had families and they were supporting them with less than $11 an hour in terms of their salary. That's just appalling. That is no longer the case, but they're still not going to be at $15. I strongly support the statewide minimum wage. Us getting to that point by 2025 should be a no-brainer. I mean, at this point, we have to afford something of that nature. We can hardly expect people to deliver services to citizens in our community and not be able to afford to live in the community that they're serving.
Any idea what it might cost the city?
I don't know. That's just my guess is once it's, we'll probably have a staff analysis shortly after it passes. And my guess is that, again, when you're talking about something that far out, the dollar an hour for the very few employees that it would cover is going to be very minimal compared to the kinds of issues that we'll deal with on a daily basis. Frankly, from having like a 75-degree temperature shift and the danger in potholes, I think that is very likely to wind up having cost us much more money than this entire program.
Let's pivot to pensions. Yesterday, Governor Pritzker appointed leaders of the new Pension Consolidation Feasibility Task Force. It will look at an idea that has floated around for years to consolidate some of the state's 671 separate public pension funds. That would impact cities like Bloomington, which have their own police and fire pensions. What do you think of pension system consolidation?
Well, I would say at 1,000 feet, it sounds like it's a good idea. In our particular situation, usually police and fire pensions are the ones that are the most difficult. We've had a plan in place. In fact, we got a statewide award for our plan. We had a plan that was passed in late 2013. It was one of the things that I ran on. I said we need to have. And a few months later, we actually had a plan for funding it. So we've got earmarked revenues for police and fire. And again, we got in 2014 a statewide award for it. So regardless of what happens or how they're consolidated, Bloomington is... It doesn't mean we don't have challenges, but we're in pretty good shape. Relatively to Illinois, we're probably in excellent shape with respect to funding our police and fire pensions.
GLT has interviewed the presidents of the Normal and Bloomington Police Pension Boards. They're opposed to consolidation. They worry about the loss of local control. And, of course, the argument that they raise is the state itself doesn't have a sterling track record on pensions. Have you talked to them about the concerns? Do you share that one?
I have not. No.
Do you share that concern about if you give it to the state or a
Well, if we're giving it to the state, but we have an obligation within the city, within our contracts, and I think my understanding through our legal representative's interpretation of the Constitution is that you cannot diminish pensions. And I would assume that one of the things that we might ask for, if that were to be the case, we would ask for an exception. Leave us alone is one of the things that I would say. And that is, we will be fine if you just leave us alone. There may be other communities that would benefit from the consolidation. In Bloomington's case, again, I don't know that it's true, but at this point, we're grappling with, and we have been grappling with it for years.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker with Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner, joining us as he does after most council meetings. Let's pivot. Let's go back to a technology issue again, a technology and transportation issue. The town of Normal is looking at an e-scooter program, similar to the ones that you see around the streets in St. Louis or Portland, or D.C. has one as well. Washington, D.C. has an e-scooter where you stick a credit card in, it's electric, and you have an app, and you just go afterwards. And then you drop it off and push end ride, and you're done, and you just leave it there. Is that something Bloomington would also entertain, or is Bloomington fundamentally different than Normal in the way that it's likely to be used?
Sure, it would be different from Normal, of course. We don't, Normal's 55,000 plus population, about 20,000 are students, and its shape and things are different. So certainly the usage would be different, but in terms of interest, absolutely. If Normal were to actually pursue this, I would love to get involved with an intergovernmental agreement so that we share that, similar, to the way we share other things.
One of the aspects of this technology that the town of Normal is finding interesting is the ability to geofence these scooters. So you can say you're not going to drop them off anywhere but within this specific geographic area, or say downtown or uptown, as it may be. you can ride it anywhere, but to stop paying your money, you're going to have to drop it off in a certain place. What would be good places for use in Bloomington?
Well, obviously, our downtown and the areas between downtown, perhaps some key areas along Constitution Trail. And as we expand Constitution Trail and our perhaps our bike lanes, presumably people might use those. We might even extend it out to some areas like Greentop Grocery, perhaps even Eastland Mall. I don't know what those would be, but obviously we would want to have staff entertain what the most likely options would be. We would want to try to connect to at least a couple of stops on our west side. West side tends to be neglected in not just this type, but many other types of services that we deliver. So we would want to be sure that was not the case here.
One of the things that is becoming clear is that these little micro conveyances, e-scooters, electric skateboards, electric assist bicycles, are all coming whether cities are ready for them or not. What does Bloomington need to do to get ready for these and to put a framework in place so that people remain safe and still get to use these things that they're going to be using no matter what?
Well, I'm on the Transportation Committee of the U.S. Conference, the National U.S. Conference of Mayors, and that's one of the questions I asked this past summer, not specifically with respect to what you've mentioned, but I said, as we're changing, we're having potentially driverless cars and many other things, the nature of transportation in the 21st century city, the latter part of the 21st century, will very likely be very different, perhaps fundamentally different, from the 20th century or even the early 21st century. What kinds of changes in terms of planning should we do? And the people who are the so-called experts, I guess you'd say, in this area said, just keep planning the way you've been doing it. We will accommodate the nature of the city that you have. Just be mindful that you need multimodal. You want to make sure that you are thinking about mass transit. You're thinking about pedestrians. You're thinking about bike lanes or other types of vehicles in addition to automobiles. And so whether or not automobiles are driverless or whether or not we have someone riding particular different types of vehicles, perhaps on our bike lanes or on our bike trails, that we will be able to accommodate that. Are we poised at this moment? No, but certainly this is something that is on the minds of our transportation planners, as well as elected officials, myself included, and the city manager.
We've heard from sources on the Planning Commission that there is some frustration that city staff aren't taking some concerns to heart about zoning density requirements for neighborhoods. Current zoning allows 70 units per acre adjacent to the downtown, both east side and west of the downtown. Those objecting, including some in the Dimmitt's Grove neighborhood and the neighborhoods just west of the downtown as well, say that could actually hurt development in downtown because it's easier and cheaper to buy land near downtown than in downtown and build a multi-unit. This could affect the character of neighborhoods as well. It's unclear whether the two-year effort on the zoning revamp that's scheduled to go to the Planning Commission on Wednesday has enough support to pass. First, do you think that the city staff are taking the concerns of the Planning Commission seriously enough?
Well, again, I don't know the details of how the city staff have been interacting with the people in the neighborhoods, but if they have particular concerns, and the concerns that you've mentioned are ones that have got to be serious and got to be addressed. And that's why ultimately city staff does not pass a zoning plan. It is elected officials, the people that you've elected to the council, and then the mayor. The mayor has a veto if I thought that, or even a line item veto if I thought a particular portion of it was not appropriate.
So what's the temperature of the council then on that particular question?
That I don't know, because this is only that particular concern I haven't spoken to the council on yet.
Okay.
So, but we will make sure that we, as much as possible, take into account downtown development. I've been campaigning on downtown development, you know, since I first ran for mayor, and it is something on a daily basis that I'm committed to and concerned about. So I'm certainly not going to be supporting or signing any zoning law that might very well have a detrimental effect on downtown or some of the immediate areas or have a ripple effect.
Yeah, policy has a ripple effect no matter what you do to it. If you change it, do you impact something like the redevelopment of the former Coachman Motel site as well?
Right.
In an adverse way.
Right. Well, the former Coachman property that we did have and may very well have another, in fact, might would be the same developer that might come back, and that was an under 50 unit facility. And so if we're talking, you know, if we change it, if perhaps changing from 70 to 50 or 55 might alleviate some of the concerns and fears, that's a pretty easy change to make. Again, I don't know if that would alleviate the concerns of some of the residents of Dimmitt's Grove or what impact that might have, but it would certainly be a place for us to start to think about what the future of that zoning code might look like.
Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner, thanks for your time today on Sound Ideas.
Thank you, Charlie.
The mayors of Bloomington and Normal join us most Tuesdays after their regular council meetings. Next week, we'll hear from Normal Mayor Chris Coos.